message from the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences.
The Audubon Adopt-a-Refuge program needs volunteers at the Quagg Wildlife Refuge. Your help is needed for activities such as reorganizing their library, preparing mailings, trimming trail paths, and other additional duties. Call Evelyn at 631-727-0417. The Kaler's Pond Nature Center at Santa Mariches also needs helpers for activities including trail guides, fundraising assistants, field trip coordinators, and landscapers. Call Jean at 878-2046.
You are listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. It's just after 6 o'clock time once again for another edition of Off the Wall. It's another edition of Off the Wall here. It's Emmanuel Goldstein, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi there.
Very good evening.
Good evening to you.
And we join you tonight under very difficult circumstances, as probably many of you have heard who listen to this radio station on a somewhat regular basis. Our dear friend, fellow broadcaster, Felix Palacios, has passed away. Felix, known as Filipito to many, was the host of Onda Nueva, an amazing program that aired almost every Saturday afternoon for as long as I can remember, following the great Lister Hugh and Lowe, who hosts the longest-running reggae program in the country. And, you know, I've been listening to the station on and off the last week or so since we got the news, and have heard some of the most stirring tributes I can imagine. You know, it's it really is a testament to how much somebody at a place like this can reach so many people. You know, and just thinking back myself to when I first came to WUSB, Felix was one of the first people that I met. I know that's true for so many people. It's true even up until the incoming classes here at Stony Brook today. Everybody knows Felix because he was omnipresent. He was somebody that would always be there and be able to talk to people about anything, literally about anything. If you were lucky enough to listen on a Saturday afternoon between the two programs when Lister was transitioning into Felix's show, sometimes the two of them would just get into these long conversations about everything you could possibly imagine. A lot of politics, a lot of social issues, sometimes sports, a lot of times music. And sometimes that would be the show. Sometimes that would actually eclipse the music that was supposed to be presented at that time, because the two were so interesting together. And Felix brought that to any conversation that he had. You know, if he was talking to you about something, he was talking straight to you and only to you. And you would have the most amazing revelations and realizations. And it was just an incredible honor to be amongst that. And I think that's what made Felix a true ambassador to WUSB, because this radio station has opened its doors to so many people over the years, and changed the lives of so many people over the years, myself included. I learned a lot about different cultures through this place. And I didn't know anything about salsa music before I walked through these doors, or actually not these doors, the doors on the other side of campus when we had the old studio. Didn't know a thing about salsa music. Probably had never even heard about it. For that matter, didn't really know about reggae either. And it was through Felix that I was able to appreciate that culture, that music, that sound, that perspective. And not in a condescending way. He never talked down to people. You know, he would always share his perspective, his knowledge. And if you disagreed with him, fine. You know, you get into a good argument with him about something. But then, maybe he agreed on the Mets. You know, maybe you agreed on boxing. Those were his passions. And there was always something that you could find common ground on. There is so much we can learn from the way Felix treated people. Because, you know, I'm reading on our mailing list, and I'm listening on the radio, and I'm hearing all of these tributes pouring in to this amazing person. And I ask myself, why can't we be more like him? You know, why can't we be somebody that can disagree with people, but can still love them, can still converse, find that common ground, and never stop being who you are? And I think that was just one of the many things that, that he brought to the table. And, you know, being just a white kid from suburbia, what did I know about any of this? You know, all I knew when I walked through those doors the first time back in the late 70s was that I wanted to be a DJ, wanted to play music, wanted to play the songs I liked. Had no idea about anything else. And it was through listening to his show, through hanging out with him, through being in the studio at the same time, seeing that passion, that I grew to understand more. My horizons expanded. I learned that there was so much more than what you would hear just tuning down the dial. Not only music, but just perspectives in general. And I'm so lucky to have been a part of that, to have been able to have had so many conversations with him over the years. And I'm happy to see that so many others shared that as well. Young, old, you name it. We all had our Felix moments. They were memorable. I want to play a little bit of what I was referring to earlier, the transition between the Saturday afternoon. That's Lister. Lister signing off his program. I don't know when this was from. I think last year sometime.
WUSB in Stony Brook, y'all. USB.FM. And it's 1 minute after 3 o'clock, Benefica up next. See ya.
Now, this isn't one of the famous conversations that went on for a good 45 minutes. This is more just a transition between the two programs. It's all I could really find. But I know there's more out there, and I know that it will live on forever as long as we remember Felix. If you haven't heard his show, hopefully you will have the opportunity at some point. Hopefully we'll be able to find some archives and have them live on forever. But again, you know, I just want to stress that this place is a family. This is something that we all feel very, very deeply. And it's moments like that that bring us together even more. And I just think there is so much that we can learn from the moments we spent with Felix and from the joy and the passion that he brought to everything he did. Whether it was Onda Nueva, which, by the way, I only just now translated after so many years of just assuming Onda Nueva would always be there on Saturday afternoons. That was Felix's show. Onda Nueva means new wave, a new wave of music, a new wave of attitude, a new wave of perspective and conversation and just everything that Felix brought to us. So that was pretty awesome. But he also did Salsathon. He was a big part of radiothons. And any USB gathering, whether it was a meeting or a party, he was there. He was somebody that it wasn't complete without him. It won't be complete without him in the future. And this is something that will affect us for a long time. Let's listen to a few minutes of the Saturday transition from last year between Lister and Felix.
Drága barátaim, és vadonatú barátaim, engedjétek meg, hogy megcsinálok benneteket egy olyan forradalomba, ami már nagyon régóta mondunk. Ugyanis kérjük és követeljük, hogy minden magyarországi színpadon legyen élő a zene. Hogyha ebben benne vagytok, és van erőtök, akkor mindenki ez a magasba!
Yeah.
As you can hear, it's not exactly a smooth transition on that particular Saturday. Let me just read a little bit of what's on our website. WUSB has lost one of our original broadcasters, a dear friend, Filipito Palacios, the host of Onda Nueva, the king of Brentwood's Puerto Rican Day Parade, an advocate for justice, a cornerstone of Long Island salsa community, and the source of the warmest hugs. He inspired so many of us who volunteer at this station. With his passion and support and injected so much energy into our studio walls, with his jubilant live sets and hearty laugh, our radio family is heartbroken and numb. It is thankful for the time we got to spend with this extraordinary man. WUSB is committed to celebrating Filipito's legacy, and we will be sharing our memories and his music in a more formal way, both on and off air in the days and weeks to come. We encourage all the community leaders, musicians, and listeners who got a chance to spend some time with him to do the same.
.1 FM stereo on your radio dial. Damas y caballeros, gracias por estar con nosotros esta tarde. Están en sintonía con Onda Nueva, programa que lleva 39 años de transmisión radial aquí en W. Y gracias a todos por estar con nosotros en esta tarde. ¿Sabe qué? Estamos en medio del mes de la herencia puertorriqueña, noviembre. Y no es por cuestión de que el 19 era día de descubrimiento, no señor. Es el día del comienzo del choque de cultura que ha resultado en el buen borincano que hoy existe. Ok, así que yo soy Félix Ángel Palacios, el espacio musical se titula Onda Nueva y nuestro propósito es exhibirle la grande música de procedencia afroantillana. Hoy tenemos en vivo los pleneros del Rincón Criollo. Hoy es el rescate de plena, sí señor, así que espero que estén con nosotros esta tarde. Vienen estos muchachos que son de los mejores pleneros de Nueva York y vamos a gozar un poco, por supuesto, familia, ya tú sabes. Ok, allá a las 3:30 comenzaremos con la plena en vivo. Sigan gozando, familia.
Well, that's just a little taste of it. And, wow, I just cannot imagine what Saturdays will be like, what this place will be like. But I'm just so happy to have been a part of this and to have had Felix in all of our lives. I mean, he will be sorely missed for as long as I think we're around. You know, I track down his theme that he used for so many years on Onda Nueva. Again, you know, I only just translated the name of the show, and now I only just found out the name of the song that he used to play. It was by Bobby Vince Pernetto, and the song is called Heavy on the Bacon. And now, as a tribute to Felix, we're going to play that theme in its entirety. And there it is in its entirety, the theme for Onda Nueva, hosted by the late, great Filipito Palacios. And I know, Kyle, you, you're fairly new to the station, only a few years, but you had your share of good conversations with Felix, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I'm very, very new compared to a lot of the people that have been remembering him this last weekend. And but I did, you know, I was fortunate enough to bump into him, and through a couple of different funny circumstances, you know, have conversations with him, and always made a point to talk to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a really approachable and really friendly person. Sometimes jovial, sometimes, you know, up to something. And he had that kind of twinkle in his eye.
Always had that twinkle.
He knew what was going on, you know, and he would love to, you know, talk about everything, talk about nothing, you know, share stories. He was just that type of person that, and that I was writing a little bit, as others were this weekend. And, that was one of the things that stuck with me. And just his ability to share and openness to conversation, and it started through those transitions that you talked about earlier, those moments when people were shifting from one show to the next. It's kind of a rudimentary or regular sort of routine thing. In most scenarios, but it's always a little different depending on the programming and the schedule. And I always enjoyed those moments. And sometimes I didn't even really recognize the theme, but sometimes I guess they would bed the theme, have that playing very low, soft, and Lister and him would go back and forth. I think even there was some moments, some of the first times I ever saw him were when if you volunteer and you're at the station, and you know we had been helping with the move and doing a lot of errands, but before then, in the old building in the student union, I remember at least probably countless Saturdays that I would be in the neighborhood, or we'd be working on something, or there'd be other volunteers at the station, and we'd drop in and try to catch Lister or Felix and jump in the conversation, as many people I'm sure did at home for those transitions, just shouting at the radio, getting in on the conversation, whatever it is Lister and Felix are talking about. So when you're at the station, of course, it's obligatory. You want to go in and get in on that in person, because it was such a fun conversation. But I remember multiple times where Felix would just be the only one in there. He'd turn to me and say, "Nah, man, Lister caught that train. He's out of here. He's on that train, man. The party's over." So
the party continued. The party was only just beginning.
No, but those little moments, I began to get to know him. And then, of course, the meetings were always a chance to talk, and especially the anniversary parties. I've been to at least a couple of those that have been here for about more than 5 years. So I've been to two of those, and those are a great chance for people to get together. And he always made it out to those. It was, you know, in the summer or in kind of a relaxed environment, you know, not the business and so on of like a group meeting when we're regrouping for the year. So those are just those kind of little moments along the way that stuck with me, and those were my interactions with him. I think after we opened the station, one of the last times I was just chatting with him, was in the hallway here after we had cut over to the new studio, and there was some refreshments and stuff, and people just milling around. I mean, that was the kind of day it was, and I believe that was also in the summer. So, yeah, people were enjoying themselves, and I had a good time catching up with him in that moment. So it is really a huge loss to this community, and me personally, I was quite sad to hear, because I listen to his show a lot. I mean, you know, a lot of people tune in on Saturday for Saturday's a Party, and a lot of the other good weekend and night programming, and his was great in the afternoon, you know, often going with the nice weather or bringing a little of that flavor and culture to an otherwise not so nice day, but it always brightened up my spirits to hear his incredible voice and language too. I don't speak Spanish, and I don't know the culture that well. Puerto Rican Day Parade and all of these activities, I only found out, as you said earlier, in addition to other things, you pointed out that this was brought to you. It was a gift. It was something he introduced me to without even really realizing it. And I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Absolutely. Well said. And, you know, the fact that somebody, you know, I read so many things on the list, including one really amazing thing from our program director, who's, you know, I think a sophomore here, to have those kinds of interactions, to be welcomed by somebody who has been here so long, instead of having barriers, because that does happen sometimes. There are barriers between generations, between cultures, between experience levels, and Felix was never like that. You know, you could be walking in here for the very first time, and he'll treat you with every bit of respect as he would somebody who's been here 50 years. Is that even possible? It's just, you know, he was always there to give you his opinion and to listen to yours and to just basically share this place, share the planet, you know, share all kinds of things that were going on in the world. And he was always, always on top of what was going on in the world, you know. There was no news event that happened that he did not know about, that he did not have an opinion about.
I would say also a healthy skepticism about.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't pull the wool over on him, especially with the geopolitical stuff.
No. And again, you know, those conversations with Lister were just, you know, amazing to hear on Saturday afternoons. They just, I hope we can find some recordings of those, because, you know, listening on a Saturday afternoon while we're doing work somewhere, and you could listen anywhere in the world, too. That's the beauty of the Internet. Just being able to hear them going back and forth about what latest travesty happened in the politics or sports or music or whatever. It was just something that was an honor to listen to.
Yeah, and it would always be building. Maybe even if Lister had some people on interviewing and some stuff was already, you know, in the conversation. You can imagine Felix walking in, and he's right there with him. The camaraderie and just that the friendship there made that such smooth radio.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what a lot of producers, they want to have that relationship, and you really, you know, that comes through, that does come through with community radio, because you have such a tight-knit community. You have people that know one another, and they have their expertise in their domains, but they get together, and that understanding and cooperation is just, it's sort of magic. It's magic to witness. And
well, I think that's where the idea first landed on me, realizing that, wow, community radio really does work, because look at this diversity. Look at all the different perspectives and sounds that we're hearing, and how they're not in conflict with other sounds. They mesh together and they support each other. And it was through that kind of positive attitude that I, you know, really saw the promise in this place, and how it could be something I could really get into. And, you know, I run off a number of people here, but Felix was definitely in the front of that pack because he was just, you know, back in Voice of Long Island days, which was a show I did with Mike Uhaus back in the early 80s, Felix was a legend then. You know, he was somebody that, you know, you define WUSB by because he was somebody who was dependable, always there and had that true worldly perspective and really got what this place was all about. And this place really got what he was all about. So it was just this perfect symmetry that, I can say we won't see again. I think we will see again in many different forms. We won't see it like with Felix, certainly, but we won't ever forget him, and we won't ever forget what he taught us, and we won't ever stop appreciating the things that he shared with us over the decades that he was here. You know, I found something. I did find one thing from our archives that this was the brain damage days back in the 90s. I don't know why. I don't know why we. I don't think anyone else has a copy of this. Maybe we do, but I haven't heard it. But for some reason, just in the middle of the show, we played a promo for Onda Nueva. It doesn't have Felix in it. It has other people in it. But well, just listen for yourself, it's pretty awesome. Isn't that awesome? Just the Onda Nueva promo, singing about Filipito, and just something that we found in our archives. And I'm sure there are many other treasures out there.
That's so cool. Yeah, they're just talking, basically making a song of the host, the show, and and the music gives you a sense of what it will be like.
And in the background, we have the closing part of a Felix special that I believe he did back in 2014, Three Kings special. Just have that in the background. I feel better hearing that. Other things have been going on in the world, obviously, and we should talk about that as well. Things are really changing. Unfortunately, you know, we saw the same thing happen again last week that we've seen so many times with yet another school shooting. And, you know, I think we all were just worn out hearing the awful news coming in yet again and knowing what was going to happen yet again, the thoughts and prayers, you know, the vigils, and then nothing. That was what was going to happen. Until it didn't, until something changed, until people started using their voices, people who were in the crossfire. Well, it wasn't really crossfire, it was just fire, basically. And the kids at the high school, who were the victims, started saying, enough already, we are sick of this, we are sick of these guns everywhere, we are sick of this gun culture, we are sick of politicians who do nothing, and we are raising our voices. Despite the fact that they were told by the right wing, by the GOP, by the NRA, now's not the time to talk about it. You don't really have all the facts. And they stood up to them. And they're standing up to them now. They are meeting with lawmakers. They are marching on Washington. They are having sit-ins. They are having walkouts. My God, this is what we need. We need people to use their voices. And sometimes they come from the most unlikely of places. Who would have thought that a bunch of kids who aren't even old enough to vote would be the ones leading us in the right direction? And yet they are. And it's the most most inspiring thing I think I've seen in a very, very long time. I cannot imagine the hell that those kids went through. I can't imagine the hell the kids in other places go through just thinking this might happen. You know, when I went to school, I don't want to sound like, you know, it was that long ago, but it really seems like it was that long ago. This was never even something that was a consideration. Maybe somebody would light an M80. That was really the worst thing that could possibly happen was somebody lit an M80 in the cafeteria or something like that. M80, by the way, is not a gun. It's a firecracker. And, you know, that was... There were guns. They existed. You know, we had the Second Amendment back then. We had all kinds of things back then. But we didn't have this. We didn't have this madness. We didn't have this this arms race in our homes, which is just completely insane. It makes absolutely no sense. No matter how many times people tell you, oh, yeah, this makes sense. This is how things should be. No, it's not. It's not. And maybe it takes the innocence of a kid to be able to point that out and say, this is wrong. This is insane. This is crazy. You know, the rest of the world doesn't seem to be having much effect on us. The fact that, you know, in Scotland, Australia, they had one mass shooting, and then they came to their senses and said, you know what, we don't want this anymore. We're not going to have these guns around. And they stopped it. Now, America is different. Doesn't mean we're doomed. It doesn't mean we can't learn and take positive steps. And I think we have to start doing that, or we're basically saying, yeah, you know what? It's okay. Have a high school shooting every now and then. Have an elementary school shooting now and then. As long as we get to keep our weapons of mass killing. And what was the gun used in this particular case, Kyle?
An AR-15.
AR-15. I've you know, gone back and forth on Twitter with a number of people about this. I'm trying to have, you know, civil conversations, because I do respect a lot of the people that I disagree with. In fact, you know, we drove through the Deep South and the Midwest and love the people there. And I think they're bright enough to realize what is right and what is wrong, and I trust them. The AR-15 is something that nobody needs to have in their home. I think we can get there. I think we can get to that common point. Yeah, there are zealots. There are people who will say, over my dead body, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the rational people, and there are rational people in every community, in fact, I think most people in every community are rational, will say, no, this is insane. We don't need this. Yeah, I need a hunting rifle. Okay, maybe I need a pistol for one reason or another. But I don't need something that can take out dozens of people in the first couple of seconds. And that, by the way, shoots down, no pun intended, any argument people give you about, well, all we need is a good guy with a gun. You know, a good guy with a gun will get cut down in the first half of a second, okay? Yeah, maybe your good guy with a gun can chase after the person and stop them from killing a couple of hundred people. Okay, but think about what we're saying now. We're saying that it's not possible for a high school kid, or anybody really, to go and kill 100 people because he has easy access to weaponry. It doesn't make any sense. No matter how many good guys with guns you have there, you can't stop that initial burst that'll take out a dozen or so people. You can't do it. So we have to approach this from a completely different angle and start realizing that we haven't been doing this right. And I'm hoping that this is the first step. Obviously, it's not the only thing that can be done. The mental health issues are definitely something to look at. The violence in our culture, definitely something to look at. But, you know, the fact that the FBI dropped the ball on this, it's interesting. And, you know, I'm glad they admitted it right off the bat. They didn't try to cover it up. They very easily could have done that. But the thing, the fact is, you know, you can be mentally ill and shoot up a school, but you can also shoot up a school without being mentally ill. You know, it's something that it's not something that if you detect it, it's going to prevent the situation from happening. For instance, if this guy had been flagged, he still would have been able to get easy access to the same weaponry. Why? Because they're all over the place. He would have had a friend. He would have been able to get into a safe of somebody else. They're everywhere, and they don't need to be everywhere. As long as they are everywhere, you will have these issues. Whether or not you flag every single mental health crisis or not, the Las Vegas shooting, there is no way that could have been stopped with mental health flagging because there were no signs. And in many cases, there are no signs until it happens. It's too late then. So really the only effective way to really start making a difference is to eliminate those weapons, which are not needed for anything realistic. The only thing they're needed for, if you want to go back to the founding fathers, they're needed to fight tyranny. They're needed to take down a government that is imposing its will upon the people. Well, hey, look where we are now, okay? We've got the tyranny. We've got the government oppressing us. We've got a lot of people angry about that. And a lot of those angry people have AR-15s or equivalent. By the way, I'm not picking on AR-15s. I know there's a lot of similar guns. I'm talking about all of them when I say AR-15s. But look, you have, and I know this is hard to imagine, you have liberals that have access to AR-15s. Well, okay, why don't we go take down the government? Because we're angry as hell, and we think that this is a tyrannical regime. By the logic of the NRA, that is something we should be able to do. Do you really want to do that? You really want to get on an Amtrak and go down to D.C. and, you know, have our AR-15s and surround the White House and have Trump come out blindfolded and all that? Doesn't work that way. You know, reality has to kick in at some point. That is not how you affect change. Period. And, okay, let's change the situation. Let's say Hillary Clinton was president. Let's say she was extremely unpopular and a lot of people wanted her out. So that you had a lot of the people on the right wing, who probably have more AR-15s, do you think they would go down to Washington, D.C. and surround the White House with AR-15s and get her taken out? No, it wouldn't happen that way because, like I said, they're reasonable people too. They're rational, they're smart. They know that's not going to work. This is not about that. This is about wanting to have a cool toy, wanting to be able to shoot at things whenever you feel like it. Well, it doesn't fit in with society. Yeah, you can go target practice shooting all you want. You just can't keep your gun under your damn pillow. You know? You can't keep your AR-15 in a place where other people can get to it. This is not a sacrifice. This is logic. This is sanity. You know, it's hard to have these conversations, but at least now that these kids are challenging at the very, very basic root of the matter, maybe the conversation can go somewhere. We know it goes nowhere with politicians. But when you actually have people that are new to all of this, that say, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. We don't want this. And we're going to be voting in a very short period of time. Well, I think they're going to be taken seriously. You think so, Kyle?
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I think the one additional thing that the students themselves have pointed out, and it's really, really obvious and kind of surprising it hasn't been more of a point, but their ability to call out people in positions of power who have taken money from the National Rifle Association and drawing that as a line, a direct line to manufacturers and so on, and thus lobbying that's gotten us into this position. And I think the important thing to remember is that it's a organization, it's padded, I say, with people who are rights advocates, but it's really an arm of an industry.
Oh, absolutely.
We have to kind of remember that, make the distinction. Yeah, I mean, sure, they want us to concentrate on them as a, citizens organization, but that's really, I mean, that's kind of a surface thing. When you dig deeper, you got to realize that what they are, much in the way many lobbying organizations are, is a representative for an industry. And that industry's aim, there you go, there's another terrible pun.
Wow.
Is to produce and sell and profit from the making of weaponry,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's a sort of like fundamental thing that I think gets forgotten a lot. And what these students are doing is calling it out. You know, when the shallow remarks from politicians come by, they're able to actually fact check them and say, okay, this is how many millions of dollars you've taken. In Trump's case, I think they called him out for about $30 million. That's not insignificant. And I think what comes to mind is that, like, you can support the Constitution, you can even support the Second Amendment, and not be a member of the NRA.
Absolutely. In fact, I think that's more likely you wouldn't be a member of the NRA.
This is, again, something we easily forget. We think it's equal to the Constitution. It's not. It's a lobbying group for an industry. And I think when we really get our heads around that and realize that, you know, membership is something that is to be their to be a rallying cry, but what's lost in the details is that its goal is to proliferate weapons. And the other thing that's missing is the different types of weapons. And this is the last thing I'll say is that it's you know, we've talked about handguns in the past, we've talked about clips, we've talked about bump stocks, we've talked about all these different pieces. And I think the legislation has to be comprehensive when you're talking about background checks. That has to be like a much more standardized and robust system. I think also the ownership, your understanding, I think we need like a little bit better understanding of where you have to actually have gun training, gun safety classes, and where you don't, because that's really piecemeal as well. And also the securing the stuff. Like, this kid had a safe. That's like one aspect of securing a weapon. You can have locks on the actual triggering mechanisms. You can have secondary and, you know, many layers of this stuff. And again, that's something, in practice, it's very piecemeal. So there's a lot that is really loose ends in this area that are really missing the necessary stuff to prevent these situations in the future.
Well, we can talk about this for a very long time. I wish Felix were around to share the conversation with us, because I know he'd have so much to say about this, and the conversation would just go on for hours and hours. Let's start an alternative gun owners group of responsible gun owners. Let's have a trust fund with the equivalent amount of money donated to politicians from the NRA. You get that money when you disassociate from the NRA. Things like that, you know. That's the kind of conversation I know that we'd be having with him if he were around to share this. And I feel like he is. I feel like he's always going to be a part of our perspective and our appreciation of things and our passion. So thank you, Felix, for inspiring us for so many years. And thanks to this place for inspiring so many over the years as well. That's going to do it for the show tonight. We're going to go out with the closing moments of one of Felix's specials back from 2014. And you can write to us, otw@2600.com. And we will see you again next week. Have a good night.
So long.
Buenas tardes a todos y felicidades.
Yeah, buenas tardes. Muchísimas gracias.
Yeah. Gracias, Felipito.
Yeah, no, gracias a tú, gracias a los muchachos. Mil gracias por venir y estar con nosotros y compartir con la audiencia de aquí, de WUSB, de Long Island Oriental, de Connecticut del Sur, que siempre están con nosotros, que por 35 años han estado con nosotros aquí en Onda Nueva. Nosotros siempre llevando a cabo, tú sabes, llevándole lo mejor de la música antillana. Y espero que hayan gustado el momento.
Ajá. Quiero darle las gracias nuevamente a los músicos que nos acompañaron de mi grupo, Mole, en el bajo. Gracias, Mole. De Manhattan, de la 8, de la calle 8, por ahí.
Lower,
¿no?
Side.
Lower East Side, all right. Johnny, en la percusión aquí del Bronx.
¿De Bronx, muchachos?
El condado de la salsa.
El condado de la salsa.
Tú sabes, tú eres del 8 y yo soy del 8, de allá en Bayamón. Sí, señor. ¿No, sí? Ah, sí, señor, sí, señor. Tenía mucha gente yo allí, ¿eh? Antes. Sí, sí. ¿Qué fue eso? ¿Qué fue eso? Sí. Bueno, this is WUSB in Stony Brook. We're going to be heading back in. I want to thank the fellas once again. Thank you all for listening up. And you, as you know, la temporada navideña is now done with. Because cuando se cierra aquí en Onda Nueva, oficialmente se ha acabado, está terminado, ha finalizado la temporada navideña. Pero sigan gozando. Tú sabes que hay un par de eventos más. El viernes en SOB se está, también están haciendo, bueno, nosotros dedicamos esto a nuestro gran amigazo, al inolvidable Yomo Toro. Y el viernes, sabe que el grupo Son del Barrio con Aurora Flores están dedicando, tú sabes, su presentación allí en Esobis, en el 204 de Barrick, también al fallecido gran amigazo Yomo Toro, que tocó con ellos mucho tiempo.
Sí,
tú sabes.
Sí, voy a ver
si sí.
Hago presencia.
Sí, no, señor, tiene que pasar por allí, tú sabes, nosotros. Y voy a regalar un par de taquillas. Ya me invito cuando entre de nuevo. Quiero darle las gracias a mi pana Bob Bennett. Bob, mil gracias, brother. Thank you very much for being with us, you know, for taking care of the engineering and stuff, and you know, because otherwise it don't get done. And to all of the USB folks who may have been listening and who are always, who are part and parcel of this show for the many years we've been here, you know, to Isabel and to everybody. You know, my buddy Frank Berger and everybody, you know, want to give them all thanks. And everybody who's listening, tú sabes. A mi pana Luis Valenzuela, a los Luises. Sí, señor. A Luis Valenzuela y a Luis Pagán. A Luis Cintrón, que viene desde los Nueva York. El doctor Cintrón, que viene pa acá para janguear un par de días. Y a toda esa gente que están en sintonía, la familia Jackson, desde el más chiquitito Action Jackson hasta Willow y Ivonne, todo ello también. Y por supuesto a mi pana Guillermo Olmo, de aquella conocida familia Olmo de Arecibo, de donde y conocí yo la tradición de la música típica puertorriqueña, pero de los tríos que viene allá de Arecibo, y a toda esa gente que está en sintonía, y a su hija, que a Victoria, que está escuchando allá en Tampa, y por supuesto a la Bambanera, que siempre está escuchando, que está en Mastic hoy día, y a toda nuestra familia, a toda la familia de Aeri allá en Shirley, a la familia Vázquez, toda esa gente, mucho cariño, gracias por estar con nosotros. Y ahora regresamos a la cabina, al estudio 238, y seguimos con la música. Familia, this is WUSB in Stony Brook. Gracias, se ha cerrado la temporada navideña, y recuerden que hay unos cuantos eventos todavía, búsqueselo en el internet. Y los que son de aquí, de Long Island, yo se los voy a, le voy a informar ya mismito, ¿ok? Así que, sigan gozando.